Will you pray with me? Dear God, the one who is truth, we come to you this morning seeking to hear your voice, the voice of creation, the voice of life. God, this morning we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable to you, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So there are a few inspirations for today. One, today is Cinco de Mayo. Everybody's excited. So today's Cinco de Mayo. And with Cinco de Mayo and with the book of Revelation, which probably right now to start with couldn't seem more farther apart from each other. Jose's nodding his head. I think it's important, there's another, our understanding of myth. And a lot of times, or at least I did for a long, long time, understood myth as more of a fairy tale, something that really was just fantastical and had no ultimate truth to it. It's what makes Disney, Disney. Well, this morning I invite us to rethink myth. And to rethink myth as something that tells us a truth, an ultimate truth, in a way that we can't tell that truth. It's a truth that we have no other way of expressing. The greatest example would be love. You know, you can't measure love as much as my scientific friends want to argue with me. I don't think you can measure love. But we can tell stories about love to teach us about love, to teach us about what it takes, about what it looks like, about how it feels, etc., etc., etc. So that's what myth is. Myth is a story telling a truth that we have no other access to outside of these stories. And so how Cinco de Mayo plays into that a little bit, in my own interpretation, is that, as many of you may know, Cinco de Mayo is, one, it's not Mexican Independence Day. It's the anniversary of a battle that happened in 1862. And it was a small Mexican army that defeated a massive French Empire colonial army in a battle. It was a joyous day. It was a good day for Mexico. If you went to Mexico, it would look a little bit more like a somber kind of day. You know, there's some parades and stuff, but nothing like here in America. So what happened? What happened in America is that word got to Mexican-American workers, primarily in California. And again, early on, we're talking 1863 here. Word got to these Mexican immigrants living in California, working in California, about this fantastic battle, this victory. And their response was overwhelming joy. The stories go that they started firing off their rifles. They broke out into speeches of glory. And it just brought something magnificent to them, this story of this victory. And what blossomed from that for the next 100 years and then really picked up in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s was a day in which to celebrate Mexican-American culture, Mexican-American identity. It really gained, it had steam, and it was a well-known day prior to this. But in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when Mexican-Americans were really standing up for themselves and fighting for civil rights and equality in America, it became part of the celebration of their identity. So they had taken an event and a story, and they had discovered something foundationally true, a truth so powerful that it gave them life and it made them face all sorts of challenges, and it empowered them. And there's another story that comes out of Mexico that begins to help us understand myth, especially more in a Christian context. And that is the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The story of Our Lady of Guadalupe is an ancient story. It takes place in 1531. There was a man named Juan Diego, and Juan Diego was a nobody. In fact, he was less than a nobody. Juan Diego was an Aztec. He was an indigenous person during the early colonial era. I mean, we're talking about Cortez is still around and trying to find gold and doesn't care who's in his way. Seriously, does not care who is in his way. And this peasant, Juan Diego, who has no social status, has no political status, has no religious status, really, except for that he needs to be converted and made better because he is who he is, at least according to the religious authorities. Juan Diego is going about his day. He's actually en route to church to meet with the monks, to better himself, to get closer to God, when all of a sudden appears Mary, the mother of Jesus. Juan Diego flips. I'm sure you would. He goes, whoa, hey. Now, it's interesting. What's interesting about this tale is the site that she appeared to him at was an ancient sacred site for the Aztec people. It was actually the site of the mother goddess for the Aztec religion. But anyway, the mother of Jesus, Mary is. And she says to Juan Diego, go and tell the religious powers, go tell the clergy to build a church right here. Juan Diego says, okay. I mean, that's how you respond if mother of Jesus shows up to you and tells you to do something, right? So Juan Diego goes off, meets with the highest ranking clergy person he can, tells the clergy person this story, and sure enough, what does the clergy person do? Ha! Clergy person says, oh, Juan Diego. And he sends him on his way. He says, oh, well, why don't you reflect on what's happened? Go and pray about it. And yeah, okay. Next day, Juan Diego is on the exact same journey, doing the exact same thing. He's hopefully trying to just move on. And all of a sudden, guess who appears again? Mary. There she is. And she says, Juan Diego, you must build a church here. And he says, look, you got the wrong guy. Okay? I don't know if you know, but I'm an indigenous person. I don't know if you understand the social structures of 1500 Mexico occupied by Spain, but I'm on the bottom, all right? I'm a peasant. I have no religious power. I have no political power. I have no social standing. I barely speak their language. Yeah, this is it. You are looking for somebody else, so I invite you to go find them. And Mary says, no, you are who I'm looking for. Go tell that clergy person to build a church. So Juan Diego says, okay. So he goes back. Same really powerful clergy person. He says, this has happened again. Clergy person this time says, okay. Look, Juan, if this is what's going on, tell Mary she needs to give me a sign. I need some proof. We've all heard this story before, right? The clergy needing a sign. Yeah. Gosh, I swear. So Juan Diego, you know, poor Juan Diego, seriously. Just trying to make it through Monday. So Juan Diego heads home. Same journey, day 3. We're back on the same trail, back on the same track. Mary appears again. Juan Diego tells her what the clergy person said. Said, you need to give him a sign. He needs a sign to prove this. And she says, okay, deal. I'll do it. I'll give you a sign. But I'm going to give you a sign this time tomorrow at this spot. So you got to be back on time. Makes an appointment with him. If the apparition of Mary, the mother of Jesus, is making appointments with you, you probably want to reschedule everything else, right? So Juan Diego... Now, something really awful happens. Juan Diego's uncle falls deathly ill. It's really serious. And so Juan Diego goes and cares for his uncle, who he loves, is with his uncle, and really that becomes his focus. And he misses his appointment with Mary because he's caring for his dying uncle. And actually, during his time with his dying uncle, he realizes that he needs a religious person to come and be with his uncle, to help his uncle transition into the next life, which is also good practice. So if you ever need a clergy person, please call. My cell phone's in the bulletin. So Juan Diego runs off to go find the clergy person to help with his uncle. On his way, Mary pops out. And she goes, Juan Diego, we had an appointment. What's going on? What are you doing? He goes, Mary, my uncle. It's my uncle. And she says, do you not believe that God is with your uncle? Do you not believe that God, I am with you, that God is with you? What do you, well, I guess. Poor Juan Diego. And so sure enough, after that meeting, Mary assures Juan Diego that his uncle is fine. And sure enough, his uncle had been miraculously cured. And his uncle actually told the story that he had also seen Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so Juan Diego goes to tell the clergy this. The clergy are still not listening to Juan Diego. Finally, it all comes to a climax, to a head, when Juan Diego, in his final meeting with Mary, Mary sends him up to a mountain. He climbs the mountain, finds flowers blossoming out of season. Like, there's no reason there should be flowers here right now. There's an entire flower field. And so Juan Diego collects all these flowers, puts them in his cloak. The fun part of the story is that when he got back down the mountain to see Mary again, Mary helped him properly arrange the flowers, because we all need that kind of help. He runs off to the highest ranking clergy person in Mexico. The highest person. He opens his cloak, and when all the flowers fall out, there on his cloak is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And immediately, the church finally does something, and they build a church that 500 years is still standing today. This story, the history of this story, and its power is captured in the fact that for the first 100 years of its existence, it was debated by a couple of monks. There are a couple of monks who were working with the indigenous people who knew this tale and debated whether or not it was valuable. You know, some calling it absolute heresy, it needs to be stamped out immediately. Others saying, ah, it's not that bad, it's helpful, it works, you know, just clergy debate. During that 100-year period, the only written version of the story was in indigenous language. It was not written into Spanish until 100-plus years after the events that are claimed to have taken place. The indigenous people did not need the political powers, the religious powers. They didn't need the social powers to tell them it was okay. Because for them, this story told them that God said it was okay, that God said that God was with them, that God was empowering them, that God was leading them, that God was walking with them, even when the rest of the world was falling apart, when the rest of the world was telling them they weren't worthy, and that they were second-class citizens, that they were undeserving. God was telling them, I am with you. I love you. And I will empower you always. It's the exact same thing that happened with Cinco de Mayo. Is that a story was told, and people who needed to be reminded that God loved them, that they were of value, that they were of worth, and that they were something to bring joy into this world, life and love into this world. And they took that story and they said, yes, this is our story. This is our revelation of our humanity, of the humanity made in God's image. And these stories, like the book of Revelation, remind us where God truly comes into the world. It helps us, as with any myth, to not limit truth to some facts, to some historical data, to something we can see on camera. That's, we live in the age, right, where if it's not on camera, it didn't happen. If there's not a sound bite. But to help us see that God's truth, that the revelation of God's wealth, the revelation of God's power, glory, honor, lie in so many other places. As the book of Revelation says, what's happening in this story in the book of Revelation is that all of the greatest powers of the cosmic world, the elders, those clergy people, the elders, the angelic chorus, the four living beasts, the beasts of life, all of the greatest powers of the universe have gathered, and yet they know that their strength is no match for the Lamb, who carries wounds of being humble, of standing up for what is right, of standing up for God's justice, of facing the world as it is and proclaiming God's love. And what these stories, what today reminds us of, is that power doesn't come in President Trump and Miss Nancy Pelosi. Wealth doesn't come in Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. Glory isn't just for athletes. Honor and wisdom don't just belong to people who read lots of books and know how to write fancy papers. God's true strength, power, wealth, glory, honor, God's wisdom is in this room. It's in shelters down the street from us. It's standing on the street corner. And it's calling for us to see that all life is of value and that we are called to share that with others. Amen.